It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in, friends, Yinzers, countrymen, to another edition of Cabali and Mac. Been knocking it out daily this week, every single day, trying to get to the bottom of what's wrong with the Stillers and get you ready for a game at the House of Horrors that is Gillette Stadium, at least Foxborough in general has been for the Steelers over the years. Don't forget, I tell you this at the top of every show and at the end too, make sure you're following along on social media and on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all those outlets where you get to see clips of the show. And if you're following on Instagram, a chance to win that $100 gift certificate to Yoli's Cucina and Craft House in Jefferson Hills. If you're subscribed on YouTube, one of the first 3,018 anyway, you'll have a chance to win your choice of either an autographed Will Howard helmet or Stone Cold Steve Austin autographed vest. There it is in the protective plastic packaging for your convenience, sitting right on top of the box that has the Will Howard helmet. Winner will get to choose which one they want. And we're only about 260 subscribers away from that on YouTube. So jump in there. We're ready for the Patriots, I think. Kaboom. Are we ready for the Patriots? How are you doing? Are you ready for the trip to New England?
No, I'm not. I'm older I get, the less I like to travel. I do feel like an old person. So my whole goal of traveling is in and out, baby.
So you're going in tomorrow afternoon and you're out Monday morning.
Oh, it's early Monday, too. Everybody's like, why are you leaving so early?
What time's your flight?
6:40, something.
Just go straight from Gillette Stadium to the Logan Airport. Just sleep there.
They're like, oh, you're not going to sleep. I'm like, yeah, exactly. But I've learned probably you should get earlier flights, considering things.
Considering the difficulties you've had with cancellations and postponements in the past.
Yep. People are like, oh, what are you doing when you go on a travel? You go out in port? No, I get there about, well, this time I'll be there 5-6 o'clock on Saturday, and I will get on a plane at 6:40. And no, I'll get on a Uber at 4 a.m. and oof.
Are you staying near the stadium or are you staying in town?
You can't stay near the stadium.
I mean, midpoint, somewhere like Natick or something. Like, where are you staying?
Yeah, I think it's Needham. Needham.
Needham, Mass.
Yeah, because you have to understand, you have two choices when you go to Boston. You can fly into Providence, which is closer than Foxborough, but there's no direct flights. You can fly into Boston, which is further away, then you have to drive
an hour, 45 minutes to an hour.
To the stadium, but there's plenty of direct flights. So what do you do?
Yeah.
Well, you'll probably go to Boston, and that's what.
So that's the plan for you this weekend.
Got a Boston.
From Boston. Yeah. Rick wants to point out that you don't need any sleep. You run on Iron City and Sarah's Pretzels.
Yeah, I drove past Sarah's the other day. I was in Cannonsburg for some reason. I can't remember, and I realize how close it is, and I've never went there.
Never been to Saris.
Ah, I don't think so.
Oh, dear God.
And I realized, and I saw somehow, that of course, when you think of something, it pops up on your phone, right?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, there were some kind of tours that come popping up on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I was unaware this was available to me.
We have a friend. He's actually the brother-in-law of the neighbor of mine that you met last night at baseball practice, who works down there.
Baseball game.
Oh, it was a game. I'm sorry. That's right. Your kid, by the way, can't stop getting drilled by pitches. I mean, we got to teach him how to get out of the way.
Oh, he got a big, we got a big black and blue mark on his leg, too.
Did you tell him chicks dig scars? It's okay.
I mean, when, trying to teach the kid how to play, little did I ever realize I had to teach him how to get out of the way of a ball.
Well, at this age group, that's the primary concern in the batter's box. This is the first kid pitch year for him, right?
That was his first real game. And
yeah.
Bases loaded, walk.
Okay, nice.
Strikeout.
It's okay. He's trying to make things happen, swinging the stick a little bit.
And they walk. And hit by a pitch, then he scored a run.
All right. All right. He's making things happen. I like that.
Yeah, he was got the
so
old...
he got the hustle award for the game.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell did you get that for? Because I ran in and off the field.
Little kaboom. He's got the hustle.
All right.
I like it. Hey, we like Southwest Greens around here too. We got to thank them for supporting the show. They've been on board since the very beginning here at Cabali and Mac, and we appreciate them. Grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized. How do they do that? The best artificial surface in the land gets it done at large businesses, country clubs all over the area, and maybe your house as well. You want to actually have the time to enjoy your yard and not have to spend all the time mowing and watering and fertilizing and weeding and all that crap. Get a yard that'll be the best looking in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. Get a hold of Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com today and tell Jake that Cabali and Mac sent you. You like the shirt I got for my birthday from the family?
Trying to think. Obviously, that was pre NWO. It wasn't going to be post because he wouldn't be looking that buff.
Hey, whatever. He still had it for a little while at the end there when he came back.
Good for you. Your kids recognize your birthday.
Yeah, they did. Well, you share one with your daughter, so you don't get to have a birthday recognized anymore. That's too bad for you. Let's dive into this game. First, I want to talk about the coordinators meeting with the media yesterday. We had somebody jump in the comments before the show even started. I want to make sure I have their name right. Hannibal, who asked about finding the video feeds of the OC and DC press conferences. They don't post those. It's basically whatever random clips you find on social media. Kaboom, you posted one yesterday. I saw Jeff Hathorn of The Fan posted one as well. So you got to just rely on the stellar reporting of tenured Steelers reporters like Mark Cabali here, who will post the occasional clip from those things and write about them afterwards. Before we get to what Terrell Austin had to say, choice quote of maybe the season so far about this defense. The first thing I wanted to bring up, you tweeted about it, was Arthur Smith comparing Darnell Washington to Shaq. Like, just get the ball to Shaq in the post. And we saw it on the two-point conversion last week. We talked about it all offseason and during training camp. I haven't stopped talking about Darnell Washington since they got him in the draft. You mentioned he had a big offseason of getting ready for this year. No more trips, post-practice trips to Sheetz or anything like that. Why aren't they using him more? Why aren't they using these tight ends in general more, you think?
That's tough because I was going to try to figure that out, talk to some of the guys, but didn't happen to work out yesterday. John, who had to leave. I didn't see the other guys. Darnell wasn't going to elaborate whatsoever. I don't know if there's a reason or not, or they just haven't gotten around to it yet, if it's scheme-wise. I mean, that's all we heard about in the offseason, right? How they're going to use these three tight ends to their advantage, and it just hasn't materialized yet whatsoever in the run game and even in the pass game. So I think it's just, honestly, just a matter of time before they break these guys out. It's only two games now. I would imagine that's on its way. I just don't know the reason quite yet why that hasn't materialized. More in the passing game. I mean, what do we want now? I mean, we want the third DK. We want him to establish run with Jalen Warren. Right.
There's only so many things you can make a priority.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah. But if that was considered one of your strengths and you got Freiermuth or Jonnu Smith listed as your starters, two high-level tight ends, you would imagine that that would be one of the things that they want to get done, accomplished.
Well, I will say, I mean,
I don't know. I don't know.
First game against the Jets, Muth caught the first third. Was it the first third down conversion or one of the first passes from Rodgers? Yeah. You had Jonnu on the little jet sweep toss. Darnell with the two-point conversion last week. So they have been involved. It's not like they haven't thrown the ball to the tight ends at all. It just feels like you said, as much as we talked about it during the offseason, that it would have been more a point of emphasis coming into the season. Like, if I look at targets right now, DK leads the team with 13. Jonnu's got 10. He's tied with Calvin Austin, second on the team. And then it's like Kenny Gainwell with 9, yeah. Muth with 7, Warren with 6. Connor Hayward's been targeted once. I don't know why. I guess because it's a 2-point conversion play. The Darnell Washington play isn't in there on the stat sheet officially. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see that. Feels like Justin E said it on YouTube too. Feels like it could be a tight end game. He thinks Jonnu has a big game on Sunday.
Here's my thing with this. I mean, you're just rattling off targets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what I'm really even talking about right here. It was supposed to be able to create matchup problems when you can trot out 3 and 4 tight ends at a time. One, you know, 3 or 4 tight ends, have Jonnu in the backfield, have only one guy like maybe Skowronek as your wide receiver and run some plays out of that. Have the 3 tight end sets a lot and be able to create matchup issues. And I don't think we've seen that yet. That's more than, you know, more than the, you know, 4 targets here, 5 targets here, and a 2-point conversion. I think that's more what they were looking at when they acquired these guys, or when they acquired Jonnu, to be able to, you know, move him around the formation and have a quarterback as smart as Aaron Rodgers to be able to manipulate the formation to be able to create a matchup issue. And I think that's what's been not concerning, but what's been lacking so far. I haven't seen that.
I don't have a breakdown of the percentage of what we call 13 personnel, if we want to get real geeky about the 3 tight end sets. But for example, Darnell Washington, I think, has only played like 40% of the snaps. Freiermuth played like 50% in the first week. I think in the second week, he played a little bit, right on 50% again. So it is interesting that they haven't had more multiple tight end sets out there. We'll see if that changes this week. As Rick said in the chat on YouTube, hammer Muth for an anytime TD if you're betting this thing. No way Rodgers doesn't try to go back to him after that one last week. We'll see. I just thought...
Well, I could tell you some stats right now. I just...
Okay.
Well, if they're not... They're broke down within first down, second down, and stuff like that. So sure. It's not really... I don't think it's going to help very much if I do...
Well, give me what you got. Come on.
Well, give it to us. Looking here.
Come on.
3 tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
They've used 3 tight ends 2 times on first down.
Okay.
They used 3 tight ends not many times at all, man. On second down, they used it once.
Okay.
Third down, they used 3 tight ends twice.
Okay, that's 6. That's 6 times.
And that's it.
6 times in how many offensive plays have they run? What's 62 plus?
Probably about 180.
118, I've counted.
Oh, 2 games, yes. You're right, yeah. About 100-some, yeah.
So 6 times in 118 plays, they've trotted out 3 tight end personnel. That doesn't seem like enough, given what they've gone out of their way to build in an Arthur Smith offense being what it is. So maybe we see more of that this week. Maybe like you said, it's just a matter of getting around to it in the first few weeks of the season. The most interesting thing that was said during the coordinators' media availabilities yesterday had to be Terrell Austin, just laying it out there, putting it on the players, talking about those deep crossing routes that we saw. We talked about earlier in the week, the videos all over the internet.
Yeah, he was anticipating this one, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was ready. The Jets ran it from a tight formation. They hit Garrett Wilson for a touchdown. The Seahawks ran the exact same play from the exact same formation, and they hit it for a touchdown. And you tweeted Austin's response to that yesterday. Don't do that shit. That shit was fucking bad. And he said they even addressed it during practice last week, and it still got messed up, and that's what pisses him off the most.
Yeah, apparently Thornhill was supposed to and did tell Darius Slay what to do. He was supposed to peel off of his guy and follow the receiver, and he either did not hear it or did not do it.
Mm.
And that was brought up.
Communication issues again.
I don't know. Is there a difference between did not hear it or did not do it? I'd say yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't think if Slay knew that that's what he was supposed to do, he wouldn't do it.
But that's the thing that even brings me back to the Danny Smith stuff with Caleb Johnson. These guys are told this during the week. They have repped this over the week. And how frustrating can it be when they just did the same damn thing? It's like, what the hell are you doing? Did we not? I mean, how many times do you tell your kid to do something, right, and he goes out and does the same thing? Like, what are you doing? I just told you this.
Yeah. Do you think this has something to do with what Broderick Jones had to say on Monday about guys need to just focus more and listen to what they're being told? Like, is that the message you think they're getting from Tomlin and the staff? Like, hey, dummy, we're telling you what to do and you're not doing it.
I think it's pretty funny coming from Broderick, because that's probably his biggest issue right now, or has been his issue first couple of years. Yeah, I mean, Broderick seems like a guy that definitely parrots what he hears. So, but we're talking about Darius Slay now. I mean, we're talking about a guy that got hundreds of career starts under his belt. Maybe it was just an honest mistake.
Maybe. Hannibal, who asked the question earlier about the coordinator availability, said, do you need to factor in the injuries for part of the communication issues? I think in some instances you can say that, you know, when you're talking about, you mentioned Thornhill, but it sounded like Thornhill knew what to do in that instance and Slay didn't listen. I think in some instances, maybe, but I don't know. There's still a lot of this, I think, that when you see the exact same play run on a defense 2 weeks in a row, that makes you question a lot of different things, not just whether players are good enough or whether they're listening, but the scheme involved too.
Yep. Like I said, TA was ready for that. I'm guessing TA is very social media active under a fake account. He hears what's going on, so he knew damn well that was going to be brought up. It almost seemed like it was a forced pissed off. Not a forced pissed off, but hey, I'm going to make it known that it was not my goddamn fault.
Right.
There's so much I can do.
With not just the injuries on defense, and they have piled up a little bit in the first couple weeks, but also the performance, if we are going to see a handful of personnel changes that we've talked about throughout the week. Before we get into that, I want to thank the good friends from Higgins Professional Painting, who will be doing some work at Cabali's house very soon here. They do it all: residential, commercial, industrial, interior, exterior. Most importantly, your house they can make look brand new, because they do a fantastic job. They've been doing it for 4 decades, a family-owned business in Pittsburgh. They'll come in, they'll do the drywall repair, they'll give you a color consultation like they did at Kaboom's house the other day, and then tell you exactly what they think will look best inside and outside your home, boost the curb appeal, and just make your house feel a little bit more comfortable, long-lasting results. They're familiar with what works in the area. So if you want to talk to them about your project, get a free estimate, get in touch with Higgins Professional Painting. Go to HigginsProfessional.com or just give them a call at 412-344-0480. We appreciate them supporting the show, because we are talking about a lot of personnel changes maybe this week, Mark. We're talking about, sounds like Jabril Peppers might be up to speed and take some of those snaps away from Clark and Thornhill at safety. We're hearing about Keanu Benton maybe losing more snaps to either Daniel Ekwale, who played for the Patriots last year. And there's multiple guys who played for New England recently who are on this defense now for the Steelers. They signed Jawan Bentley this week, who's on the practice squad right now. But if they're looking to bolster things at inside linebacker, especially in the run game, maybe he and Cole Holcomb are part of the answer, taking Peyton Wilson off the field a little bit. There's a chance, I don't know, maybe a chance, you tell me, that Derek Harmon could be back this week. He's practiced every day, I think. And we already talked earlier in the week about Herbig and Sawyer picking up the slack for Highsmith.
Yeah, I don't know how much. They might get some time, but I wouldn't anticipate them getting a lot of reps. Maybe if Peyton Wilson struggles early on, maybe they'll do that. And bring in him for Peyton Wilson. I mean, Cole Holcomb for Peyton Wilson a little bit. I think they're just going to use more multiple players than just replacing guys. I mean, if it goes bad, maybe, yeah, you have a backup plan. I don't know if they had that last week where they were pretty much had some in-game injuries that they weren't able to adjust to. Now I think they do have some people at least ready to adjust to them. So, like I said, I don't anticipate that very much of Ekwuali getting in there a lot for Benton and so on and so forth. And even YA Black playing a little bit of nose can happen, but I wouldn't anticipate a lot of it. I mean, even Harmon, I mean, we'll hear from about Harmon's official designation later here, probably around 3 o'clock or so. But I still don't anticipate him playing. I don't.
Is it a moving train thing, or is it just not 100%?
Usually when you think you're ready, you wait another week.
Hmm.
So I always had that week 4 game in Ireland earmarked and just in my mind for him to come back. To be able to have a week or so of work, be able to play in Ireland, then have another, you know, basically 2 weeks off to see how it reacted to some playtime activity. So that's the way I look at it. It's going to go down.
What's interesting to me, probably more interesting than whether we actually see Harmon this week or not, based on what you're telling me there, is the other positions that we mentioned, inside backer, and safety, because it would be a reaction, I think, to getting beat up in the run game if we see Peyton Wilson come off the field for Cole Holcomb, or even if they activate Juwan Bentley and play him a little bit, if they slot Peppers in there for Clark or Thornhill. And what's going to be interesting to me is if they do make those moves at some point or do it a few more times than they ordinarily would throughout the course of a game. This is a team in the Patriots that does like to throw the ball to their backs and tight ends. Hunter Henry, second on the team in targets. They got Hooper as well at tight end. They've got Henderson's got 8 catches out of the backfield already, the rookie out of Ohio State. Stevenson's got 7 catches already. And that's where maybe Peyton Wilson is more effective, is getting out there in space than a Cole Holcomb. And I don't know about Peppers because we haven't seen him on the field yet for the Steelers, but I don't know. That might be part of the mind games here with Vrabel and McDaniels. Okay, they've been steamrolled in the run game. If they put their other guys out there in an attempt to stop the run, we see Holcomb, we see Bentley, we see Peppers. Maybe they start dishing the ball off to the backs and tight ends to exploit that.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Holcomb, what you saw from him in training camp, that he hasn't regained that step that made him that good coverage linebacker. And that's a little bit of a concern. So I think this is a game where Peyton Wilson and or Patrick Queen, it's made for him if you get to that point. I mean, if you get to the point where you want to have running backs and tight ends catching the ball, I mean, there's probably – I wouldn't say nobody better because, of course, they're better because they haven't played better. But those two guys are made for that type of game plan.
Right.
Where you see more of is the power game. I mean, if Travion Henderson and Ramondre Stevens able to stick it up between the tackles and run right at them, and the same defensive linemen aren't, you know, occupying blocks, that's where those two come into some issues there. But it's a big game, I do think, for Peyton Wilson. I think he needs to show that last week was just the growing pains type of game, because I think he is still very, very talented. I'm still waiting for this defense just to, you know, break out, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think they're due to have one of those really, really good games. And in the Patriots, you look at their numbers over their first two games, it's not like they're lighting up anybody offensively.
No, May's been sacked 7 times, so maybe there's an opportunity there. I, like I said yesterday, feel maybe too confident in the ability of Sawyer and Herbig to step in and help slow down the run. I think Sawyer definitely can be a big part of that if he gets the opportunity. But the guy that concerns me the most on the offensive side of the ball for the Patriots isn't necessarily May. They usually handle mobile quarterbacks pretty well. They handed Fields fairly well, other than that naked boot touchdown run down on the goal line in week 1. I'm more concerned with Travion Henderson. That's the guy that I think, because he can catch the ball, because he can run between the tackles, because he has breakaway speed, he's got a kickoff return for a touchdown this year. That's the guy that I worry about that could be sort of the Swiss Army knife against his defense.
I worry about Drake May's legs, maybe.
See, like I said, I'm not as worried about that because typically against mobile quarterbacks, the Steelers' defense has been able to handle things.
Yeah, but he's quiet. He's a quiet mobile quarterback. He's not.
Yeah, he's not Lamar. He's not Josh Allen. Yeah. But he can get out on the move when he has to. He's done it so far. He's second on the team in carries.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm worried about. You know, some big third down conversions just because he tucks it and runs, and you're not really accounting for him to be able to do that. I mean, you can't account for everybody. Usually you don't account for him to do that. So I think that could play a factor in this as well.
The other part here that we have to talk about as far as young guys, rookies especially, who could help New England in just a second. But first, make sure you're getting to the best place to watch the game. If you're not going to be in New England, Archie's on Carson, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. Of course, Monday through Thursday nights, they got the 80-cent wings, but the wings aren't the only thing that are fantastic on the menu. Sandwiches, burgers, those flatbread pizzas as well. And of course, ice cold beers, in particular, your irons. You get one of these IC Light hats. You just walk up to the bar like I do. Hey, give me an IC Light. Bang. IC Light and some wings. Perfect for watching any of the games, whether it's Saturday or Sunday down at Archie's on the South Side. We appreciate Arch supporting the show. On the other side of the ball, the thing that I'm most worried about, not most worried about, but they've got the ability to create some real issue. Harold Landry has 3.5 sacks. They've got the most sacks in the league already through 2 weeks, the Patriots as a team. I mean, you could consider the opposition, right? That's certainly part of it. But they're getting after the quarterback early, and we've seen Rodgers, if he doesn't get the ball out quick and he's got to start to move around, he's 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. He's not peak of his powers, Aaron Rodgers, extending plays and taking off for 10, 12 yards at a time.
You can extend them enough to be able to make plays, so I don't really worry about that. I mean, we've seen that through the first couple of games where he can slide left, slide right, roll left, and be able to make a play off that. He's not going to run, you know, get you 8, 12-yard gains, so I'm not really worried about his mobility. You worried about
Broderick against Harold Landry? Because that's got me concerned. He bounced back this past week. Broderick Jones did.
Yeah, you know, wasn't Arthur Smith the one that drafted Harold Landry in Tennessee?
Yes, I believe he was.
I'm sure he knows a little bit about him as well. I mean, when I think of people I worry about, Harold Landry doesn't jump to the forefront.
No, he wouldn't usually for me either, but then you sit there and glance through the stat sheet and you see 3.5 sacks and you go, okay, this guy's doing something right in the first couple of weeks.
Is he Harold or is he Eli? Or is he Eli again? Or is he back to Harold?
I think he's Harold. Whatever. Landry. 53, I think, is his number. Is that what number he is still? Landry. Hold on. No, he's number 2 now. That must have happened when he came over to New England. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That dude, after seeing a week of slight improvement from Broderick Jones, again, the bar was low after week one, but improvement from Broderick Jones in week two, I worry that given their pass rush, they got Chase on the other side, they might create some issues for this offensive line that in pass protection hasn't had a perfectly clean game yet.
I'm sure they're ready for it. I mean, I feel a little bit better because Broderick did at least hold his own last week. It's not like he had two bad games in a row. Mm-hmm. So that gives you a little hope that he can be able to hold up a little bit in this game as well. So
what about the concern that these guys aren't maybe getting open for Rodgers? I mean, you see him standing back there looking for people, And every once in a while, you know, somebody will flash open. He'll hit him. He's fantastic at hitting guys in stride. He had a good rhythm early against the Jets. But Christian Gonzalez might be back for the Patriots. Solid in the secondary there for them. That's another concern I would have is that, you know, again, maybe if they go three tight ends all day, which they haven't shown they're willing to do yet, we're not talking about corners and coverage as much. We're talking about quick timing routes, getting it out of your hands to Metcalf and Austin, Freiermuth, Janu. But that's another thing, that the offensive line could play a solid game in pass protection. And if these guys aren't getting open or just holding on to the football when it hits their hands, then you're going to have another issue there.
I never really watched their first two games and thought that guys weren't getting open. I just thought there were some times where he was pressured early on that prevented him from scanning the field a little bit more than he was able or would probably like to be able to do. I don't know if you really felt that they haven't been open. I've seen guys open.
I've seen guys open, but I've also seen moments where, like you said, Rodgers gets pressured early, and maybe that's it. Maybe it's the pressure and he can't scan the field and find the open man, but where, you know, he's had to eat the ball a couple times. He's tried to step up in the pocket and he needs an extra second or two to find somebody breaking open. I don't know if it's route concepts. I don't know if it's dudes not getting open as cleanly as they need to, but in a what should be a timing offense as far as passing goes, I'd like to see more of what we saw early in the Jets game, where it's 1-2, guys open, I hit him in stride, he picks up 8 or 9 yards.
Yeah, I mean, that's just football 101. You want to see them all to be able to do that. I mean, you don't want to hold the ball as much as you can here. So, yeah, I would imagine that would be something you would want to see here. But the thing is, I don't think it should really, really matter. I mean, they have different layers of talent on offense that you should be able to, be able to exploit one part of it over the other. I mean, it's just a matter of what they want to do. And I think they're going to go into this game, try to establish that run game early on here. They might go back to the old school Steelers way of, 3 yards in a cloud of dust and try to get the defense to win the game. If your defense is playing the way you hope that they play here, they might go back to that because the previous two things aren't working whatsoever. I don't know. It's always interesting to me what type of game plan they come up with against certain opponents here. Maybe they do play it closer to the vest. Me, I just want to see them come out and run the ball. Run the ball. Then you could play action off of that. And I don't really care, honestly. You see a lot of people whining and moaning and bitching about the 4.2 yards per air attempt. Who the hell cares? I mean, you were bitching last year that all only thing Russ Wilson could do was throw the ball down the field. As long as you get the ball out and move the ball up and down the field, that's all that matters.
Well,
in my eyes, I don't think you need 30-yard crossers or whatever. Plus, no, we're 2 games in now. Things can change with, 2 or 3 long passes, and all of a sudden, if Freiermuth catches that ball on the run, what's that number like?
Right. I mean,
exactly.
So I don't necessarily have an issue like you. I don't have an issue yet with the inability to push the ball downfield. But because I do think, like we've talked about since before the season started, this offense has to be about getting the ball in the hands of Metcalf, Janu, Freiermuth, and letting them make plays, Austin, with their legs after the catch. And that looked really good at times in week 1 against the Jets. But I do think when you're talking about a team that doesn't push the ball downfield, you're also going to have defenses that are more willing to creep their safeties up and try and stuff the run. And you're already not running the ball well. So I don't know. It's an interesting push-pull or give and take as far as offensive strategy goes. It's why I think, not to make it all about this today, you come out in those multiple tight end sets more. You put the defense on their heels as far as what you're able to do. You're probably not going to be pushing the ball downfield a lot, but at the very least, you create the threat, even in a run formation, of being able to throw the ball and when you create confusion for the defense about what you're going to be able to do based on formation, then their reactions are going to be slower. They're going to be a little less prepared for whatever you have planned.
You know, they've only played four tight ends once this year, and it was, I think that was the Jonnu touchdown.
Yeah, and I don't need all four out there at the same time, but I need more than six snaps of three tight ends in whatever it's been, 118 plays. Like,
although they've been playing two tight ends a lot. I mean, it's by far the most formation they've had.
And that makes sense given the talent they have. Like you said, you've got two high-end tight ends in Smith and Freiermuth. You should have both of them out there on the field, I would say at least 50% of the time. But the three tight end thing is something that we talked a lot about, and they haven't really used it. So that's interesting to me. Very, very, very interesting.
I mean, they have like 39 plays over at least two tight ends. I see. 39. That's a lot.
Out of 118, what is that? Probably like.
Well, it's just off the top of my head. It's probably more than that if I go through it with a fine tooth comb. But their top two formations are with Darnell and Jonnu with Jalen Warren, and Freiermuth and Jonnu with Kenny Gainwell. That's 39 plays right there.
Okay, we'll see if they switch it up at all this weekend against the Patriots. Thanks to the Dan Heck team. They've been supporting the show since the very beginning as well, and we appreciate them. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, there's no one better. The entire team is waiting for you. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, all there waiting to get you into the home of your dreams, the Dan Heck team. Go to heckteamhomes.com. That's Heck with an A, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. They'll take care if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. So I mentioned Christian Gonzalez might be back for the Patriots. Harold Landry could present a problem in pass rush. We talked about their ability to spread the ball around on offense to the backs and tight ends. Drake May with his legs. Stephon Diggs, I guess, is having a kid with Cardi B. There's your random obligatory mention of that. But you still don't seem all that concerned with the Patriots, Kaboom.
No, why? I mean, I think if the Steelers play like they did the last 2 weeks, I think they win this game. You know, maybe not, I like to say, going away. Yeah, I think I'm not a big proponent of the Patriots right now, of what they have and if they're a real team quite yet. I still think they're a team in building mode, process of building how they want it to be here. So I think if they're – I don't see – you look up and down their lineup and you don't see a ton of stars on either side of the field, right? I mean, when Bob Spillane is your one of your better guys, I mean, God love Bob Spillane, but it is what it is here with him. I mean, I guess the best part of that is if Gonzalez does come back and you have him, guy like Carlton Davis, you know, kind of like Kyle Duggar even as a backup. But offensively, I think they're just very, very limited in what they can and will do because they're wide receivers. I mean, Diggs, Hollins, Boutte, right?
Yep, nailed it.
Did I say Boutte right?
I don't think you did. I think it's – is it Boutte or Butte? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It looks like a Boutte. Stevenson has not been his dominant self ever since his rookie year. Henderson's up and coming. Hey, maybe we'll see Josh Dobbs.
Is he with New England now?
Yeah. Him and Tommy Cutlets.
Wow, that's a hell of a quarterback room. Drake May, the rocket scientist, and Tommy Cutlets.
Yep. Yeesh. So, I mean, where's your...
Boutte is how you say it. Boutte.
Yeah, once again, it's hard because you might get burnt on it, but it just doesn't look like there's a lot of star power there that can put points on the board. And you see how many points they've scored the first 2 weeks. There hasn't been. I mean,
so you're not scared at all.
No, I don't. I mean,
okay. So what sinks?
I'm not playing either. So
what sinks it for the Steelers then? Is it just turnovers.
Same shit. Same shit that happened the past 2 weeks. You know. You got to do my job. Got to get off blocks. Got to make tackles. Miscommunication. Same old crap. If it happens 3 weeks in a row, wow.
Well, 2 weeks, as Mike Tomlin said on Tuesday, is a trend.
Well, it all depends. Then we'll get to 3 weeks, and that might be considered the trend in his eyes.
Okay. I'm not sensing very much concern from you about this game.
Well, concern, of course, is going to be a one freaking possession game.
Of course.
They're always one possession games.
All right. We'll get to our official predictions for it in just a second and our picks for the rest of this weekend's games as well. But first, check out the Third Do First In podcast, firefighter, first responder world. If you're in it and you want to make sure that other people are as crazy as you for being in it, by all means, listen to some of the stories that Keith and Gino and their guests have. Follow Third Do First In on all your social media and subscribe on YouTube as well. And if you're not in that walk of life, then some of the stories are eye-opening, what they're dealing with on an everyday basis, and we appreciate them doing what they do, but then also doing the podcast as well to bring some of that to us who may not get to be in it and hear about it every single day. Third Do First In, check it out on social media and on YouTube as well. We appreciate their support of the show. Are you ready to make picks?
What from WrestlePalooza?
No, but do you think Cena wins?
Yeah.
The opening match of WrestlePalooza. He's not going to lose to Brock Lesnar, is he?
You know what they say, man. You either want to be first or last. First one in or last one out, right?
Right.
So that's why. My pick should be coming out here pretty soon, but I don't want to ruin them, right?
Sure, ruin them. People can go read a more detailed breakdown. After they hear what you have to say.
First of all, did you see some of the comments in their comment section that Stephen A. just picked his top five wrestlers of all time? Something's very funny about that.
Who did he pick?
I don't know. Somebody mentioned it.
Well, read it off to me then.
I'll find it now. It's probably what's his name? Pony's burner account.
Hold on. Goldberg 1, Ric Flair 2, Hogan 3, The Rock 4. He had the Road Warriors 5th.
Yeah, he probably Googled best wrestlers of all time. A lot of people do have the Road Warriors, but Goldberg is, that's just
I guarantee you Stephen A had somebody Google win-loss records. So that he could put Goldberg first.
He even talking about Goldberg. He has won loss. He won 197 straight matches.
197.
And it only happened in 150 days.
How many matches did you win in a row?
You know, stuff like that, you got to be careful with. You lose some credibility as a, not as a person, but as a entity of trying to sit there on.
Well, ESPN
first take has been, picking your top five wrestlers.
ESPN has been all in on the WrestlePalooza.
Oh, wow. They should be, too. How much they're probably spending to purchase this, they need to make their money back.
Is this right that there's only five matches on the card? Is that right?
There's always five matches at PLE. Where have you been?
No, there's been a couple, but that just seems light. So Punk and AJ.
That's a Triple H thing. He likes to have more of a buildup of matches rather than just, you know, slam a card with eight matches.
All right. Punk and AJ Lee against Rollins and Becky Lynch.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Come on.
It's interesting. I'm not giving away my freaking insider tips here.
Insider. Io Sky, tip. Stephanie Vaquer. Give me a prediction on that.
That's for the vacant championship because Naomi left because she's pregnant.
Right.
I would imagine. I mean, they love Stephanie Vaquer, whatever her name is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Io Sky has been pretty much dominant the whole 2025. So, they're going to put another belt on her?
Maybe. Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre.
Oh, that screams of This is a huge event. This is our biggest star. He hasn't been around for a month and a half because he was shooting Street Fighter. We need to get his ass on the card. Let's just put him with somebody.
Well, McIntyre had the attack a few weeks ago on Cody at SmackDown, kicked him through the table and all that.
Well, you have to have Cody on that card. You just have to.
I mean, McIntyre's not going to win the title, obviously, but I do think that could be low-key a really good match on Saturday night. And then the Usos against Breaker and Bronson Reed. I mean, I feel like we've watched that four times in the last month already.
Something's happening there.
Oh, what do you think? A Roman Reigns appearance?
Maybe Jay. Jay might turn into his...
You think Jay turns?
Jay might be the new Olafala, the old OTC.
They can't turn Jay. He's too much of a moneymaker.
Oh, they can turn him. They could turn him as in not as a straight on bad guy, but a guy who can, you know, just, you know, he has not been, his push here hasn't probably gone as planned. He really didn't live up to it because he's making it sound like, you know, he's trying to please everybody. Now it's time to please myself.
Okay, fair.
If somebody gets in my way, somebody gets in my way. If it's my brother, it's my brother.
Yeah, but 10-year-olds aren't going to yeet as he runs down the steps. Well, no, in the
still, I mean, every time Seth Rollins comes out, you're...
the catchiness of the song. It's not because people like his character. They root against him. Anyway,
I don't know.
WrestlePalooza is tomorrow night.
Kaboom. But Stephen A. Smith's... Mount Rushmore plus one is very interesting.
Yeah, it's some the Road Warriors. Okay, let's make picks for the NFL schedule this weekend. Are you ready?
Yeah, what color hair are you going with? Richie Walsh red?
We're tied right now, champ. We're both 22-10 after getting the Buffalo pick right now.
I almost went with Miami, and Miami, you know, they did all right last night. A little bit better than I was anticipating.
I mean, they didn't get blowed out, if that's true. They covered the number.
That last throw by Tua was like, okay.
Tua gonna Tua, man. He's good for one of those. He's the modern-day Testaverde. He's good for one dumb throw a week, it seems. All right, Saturday or Sunday afternoon games. Let's start in Minnesota. The battle of the backups. Carson Wentz and the Vikings against your favorite, Jake Browning and the Cincy Bungles. I got the Vikings.
Why do you always go first?
Okay, then you can go first on the rest of the games, okay? I already know who I'm going to pick. You were talking shit on Jake Browning earlier this week.
Oh, well, it's Jake Browning.
Jake Browning has a winning record as a starter.
Well, yeah, what, like 1-0?
4-3 a couple
well,
of years.
I'm going. Yeah, I'll go with the Vikings just because they're playing in that shithole of a stadium that made my head hurt.
What's wrong with that place?
It was so loud.
Quiet down, kids.
There was no indoor press box. So you're just sitting in the crowd, basically. And the music was loud for like 3 straight hours. And I almost got ill. I took ill.
All right. Indy, Tennessee. Who you got? It's in Nashville. That matters.
Even though I'm a big Colts fan.
What? Are you going against Danny Dimes?
I think Danny Dimes might take his step back.
What?
Give me Cam Ward and the Titans.
Are you kidding me? I got the Colts. I can't believe that. I'm not on the Danny Dimes train yet, but I didn't suspect you jumping off this early.
I'm not jumping off. It's just a little detour.
You are. You're jumping off. You just said he's going to suck.
A little detour. A little detour.
If a tree falls in the forest, does anybody hear it kind of game? The Texans at the Jags. Who you got?
Texas at the Jags. I'll take the Texans.
I got them too. I thought you'd go different there, but you hate the Jags. Falcons at the Panthers.
Come on. Panthers might not win a game this year.
Ooh, 0-17 prediction from you. You should go bet that. What's the number on that, I wonder?
If them going 0-17?
Yeah. I bet you can find that somewhere.
I don't know. You're the betting guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I bet you can find that somewhere. Hold on. So you're taking Atlanta over Carolina?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. This should be a good one. It's an early game, so we'll kind of have it off in a corner screen somewhere while we're watching a Stellars. Rams in Philly against the Eagles. Rematch of that playoff game last year.
How can you pick against the Eagles right now? Nah.
Well, Jalen Hurts hasn't thrown a touchdown pass yet this year, so there's that.
Yeah, he's run for like four.
Snow was the equalizer last year. The Rams could have won that game otherwise. You want any more reasons?
Yeah, that was last year.
Okay. So you're going with the Eagles?
Yeah, how can't you? Who are you going with?
Rams.
Really?
Big road upset. Yep.
There's a big win for me.
That Philly secondary has had their issues. You got Puka Nakua.
Did you call him Poopa?
Puka Nakua. Lord, man. Stay up to speed with me here. You got a strong defensive line. They're going to create some issues for Hurts. Maybe a third week with no touchdown passes. Yeah, I got the Rams. Jets at the Bucs in Tampa.
Yeah, Jets are just beat up now, right? Tyrod Taylor?
Yep.
Yeah.
Tyrod might play better than Fields.
Is Baker Mayfield elite? Go with the Buccaneers.
Going with the Bucs, so am I. Tampa's our NFC darling this year. I think we agree. All right.
Detroit.
Your Las Vegas Raiders at the Washington Commanders. I don't know what the deal is with Daniels yet. I don't think anybody knows if he's going to play or not. If not, it's Mariota. What do you think?
That's a huge difference right there, I think.
Yeah.
Geno couldn't play any worse than he did last week.
You're high on the Raiders. You got him as a playoff.
Yeah, I mean, if I knew who was the quarterback, and I can't go – and or?
No, you can't go and or. Fine. I'll let you do it in this one instance. This is
if Jaden Daniels starts, the Commanders. If Jaden does not start, it's the Vegas.
The Vegas.
The Vegas.
The Vegas. Okay. I put you down for an option, an either or option there.
Don't you think that makes a big difference?
It does make a big difference, but I got Washington either way. That kid they got at running back, Bill.
Say his whole name.
Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt. He's a stud, and I didn't take him in my fantasy league. I missed him by one.
Nobody cares about your fantasy league.
I know, but I do. Green Bay at Cleveland. Is this even? You know what I noticed, though? The Browns only gave up like 240 yards of offense to the Ravens last week. I mean, they're still the Browns, but that defense, you know, we talked about how the Steelers' defense handles everything getting funneled away from TJ Watt the other day. The Browns probably get 90% of what's thrown at them funneled away from Myles Garrett, and they still stifle teams, even a talented offense like the Ravens. So the Browns, I get it, but I don't know. I'm still taking Green Bay. What about you?
Yeah. As my kid would say, the worst team in the league versus Georgia.
What? Does he think Georgia could beat the Browns?
When he puts his helmets up for the week, he goes, Georgia. Who's Georgia playing? I'm like, first of all, it's Green Bay. My second of all, he goes, they're playing the worst team in the league. I'm like, yeah, Cleveland.
All right. Denver, two teams that you can't stand, Denver and the Chargers.
I'm going with Denver on this one here.
I hate them. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I do. I think still, no, I more or less hate. I just think Justin Herbert gets too many roses thrown at his feet for him not doing really anything career-wise or playoff-wise.
I think he's got ridiculous numbers against the pass rush this year. Hasn't thrown an interception yet against the blitz.
So he's due. Look at the Broncos secondary. So he's due.
I'll take the Chargers. You take the Broncos. There's one of our different picks this week. Saints at the Seahawks.
Hey, you just want to scream Seahawks here.
I don't want to scream it. I just think the Saints suck.
I know the Saints suck, but okay. The Saints have been in it. They've been playing a little bit better than I have been anticipated over the first 2 weeks, even though they're 0-2. I didn't think they could run the ball as well as they have run the ball. But I can't pick the Saints.
All right, we're both on the Seahawks.
Give me the points, though. I'll take the Saints. I'll take the points. But
what is the spread on that one? You're going to make me look it up.
I'm guessing it's six. Total guess.
Saint Seahawks in Seattle. It's got to be more than six, right?
I don't think so.
7.5.
Close.
You'll take the 7.5 then. All right. That doesn't count for our picks competition, though. Cardinals at the Niners.
I'm going Cardinals.
You're crazy. I got the Niners. Cardinals haven't played anybody in the first 2 weeks. They played.
I mean,
Carolina.
you pick all the favorites. So what the hell? You pick all the home teams and the favorites. So that's,
I do not pick all
that?
The home teams and the favorites. But that's
yes,
okay.
You do. Yes, you do.
I do not. I just picked the Rams over the Eagles. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, well, that's because it snowed last year. What a great reason why.
Dallas, Chicago.
You know that's a Thanksgiving game there, man. What the hell are they playing this for in September?
I don't know, but it could be 600 points scored in this game.
Wow, you talk about two horseshit teams.
Make a pick.
How can you pick it for the Cowboys and how can you pick for the Bears?
You got to pick one of them.
Oh, my God. I'll say.
Come on.
I'm going to go the Bears.
Are you serious? Wow.
Man, you're acting like the Cowboys are this great team.
No, I'm not. I just, Caleb Williams is going to do something stupid at some point after he runs around in a circle for 8 seconds. So I got the Cowboys. You got the Bears. Chiefs at the Giants. Are the Chiefs a mess? Are they done? Are they cooked? Do they go 0-3?
Well, I think they're done, but I don't think they're going 0-3.
Okay, so you got the Chiefs, as do I. Monday night. This is actually a really good Monday night game. Lions in Baltimore against the Ravens.
You talk about, wow. That can't be no more than a 3-point spread, right?
That one is 4.5. 4.5 the Ravens are favored by, which I think is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I'm going Baltimore, even though I'm a big Detroit fan. I think the Lions are going to go to 1-2. Just like the Ravens at home more
Same.
Than anything else.
There will be a lot of sky is falling around the Lions on Tuesday morning if they lose that game, but I think they will, and I think the Ravens, and I still think the Lions will be fine, but
yeah, the Lions coming off of 50-some-odd points is not, I mean, that gives you a false sense of security, I think.
Okay, maybe you're right. Thanks to Impact HVAC, we appreciate their support here on Cabali and Mac. Maybe you're running the AC still because it's been in the 80s all week. Maybe you want to get the furnace checked up before you got to turn it on for the fall and the winter. Get them on out there. Message them on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH or give them a call 412-297-1852. We trust them in our homes. They've replaced my furnace. They do all the kind of maintenance and repair work that needs to be done. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook or 412-297-1852. All right. It's time to make our Steelers predictions.
By the way, it looks like Jaden Daniels did not come out during the media viewing portion of practice today.
Uh-oh.
Now you want to change your...
No, I still like Washington over the Raiders.
All right.
Steelers, Patriots. You want to go first or you want me?
It doesn't really matter.
All right. I think it's going to be a relatively low-scoring game. I think it's all about who converts in the red zone when they get there. I think the Steelers' defense is not going to look fixed by any means, but it will look better than it has the first 2 weeks. Like you said, there's just a lack of talent across the board, especially at receiver on the Patriots' offense. I think they'll get to Drake May and force him into a big mistake or two. I still think Travion Henderson could have a really good game, but I think the Steelers win 20-19. What do you got?
Well,
you have no respect for the Patriots so far this week. What do you got?
No, I think all is now well again in Pittsburgh land and Steeler land after a win in New England where they finally get that run game finally getting to do what they like to do offensively. I think they're going to run the ball. I think they're going to play action. I think they're going to use some tight ends. And finally, they're going to minimize some of these 10-plus yard plays on defense.
Okay.
I think the Steelers win. Do I really have to say a score?
Come on, play the game.
28-21.
28-21. Okay. So we both got the Steelers. You have them covering. I do not. That doesn't really matter as long as they win.
By the way, I'm looking at the Stephen A. Picking his top five wrestlers.
How bad?
And the Hogan one is the same picture that you have on your shirt right now.
Really?
Same exact one. Same one.
Perfect. Tell me my family doesn't know me. Man. It goes right back there in the wrestling section of the closet next to the NWO shirt.
This Flair picture looks like it's from 1981. It was almost chubby Flair.
Chubby Flair?
You ever see before he got into the plane crash, he weighed about 290?
He's a big dude, yeah. He got cut up after that. All right, so we both have the Steelers winning. Kaboom's a little more confident than I am. But either way, we will do a post-game live edition of the show as soon as Mark is back upstairs in the press box from the locker room, anticipating probably around like 4:45 or 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, depending on how things go. Tomorrow, don't forget, First and Goal Sports having their live in-store Marc-Andre Fleury signing starting at noon. I don't know if there's any tickets left, but go check out firstandgoalsports.com to see if there are and get yourself there for that. Congratulations to our winner from earlier in the week who won a free ticket to that show.
Is he going?
Signing. Yeah, he's going. Absolutely. Oh. Ian. Yeah. They've got him on the list.
Ian.
E-N. He's going to be going to get his Marc-Andre Fleury stuff signed. You can as well. First and Goal Collectibles out at South Hills Village. Big supporters of the show. They want to get you either this autographed Will Hard Steelers helmet or the autographed Stone Cold Steve.
And when you go there, make sure you drop the podcast name.
Yeah, and when you speak of us well. But get to First and Goal Sports tomorrow for that. Kaboom's going to travel to New England, assuming the airlines let him go. Last time on the trip to New Jersey, it was a little rocky, but he made it. We'll see if he has a hotel room or not, and if he makes it back. What is it, like an hour flight to Boston? You going to nap?
No, it's
going to enjoy a complimentary bag of little pretzels. What are you going to do? Read?
Flight. Now I got two flights. That's great. They must have moved it.
Here we go. Already.
Is that Delta?
You don't even know what airline you booked?
I did it a long time ago. Flight DL. Would that be Delta?
Dude, do I look like I work at an airport and know this kind of stuff?
It says the flight is, actually it says almost 2 hours. That's not true.
It's not 2 hours. It's like an hour and 15 minutes to Boston.
Yeah. On the way back now on Monday, 6:50 to 8:40.
Do you take dude wipes on the road with you?
I never even thought about it. You know, this whole 3 ounces of fluid.
It's not fluid.
Well, I'm just saying, it always freaks me out. I don't know what you're allowed to bring or not. And by the way, who in the world, if you're doing the old hair gel, only has like a little 2 ounce bottle?
I don't know.
I remember buying one time and they had maybe throw it away. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
Sons of bitches. No, Justin, I won't be going to Bed Bath Beyond.
You're getting that bad reputation there, Mac.
All right, Pally. You just cool it. All right. Busting some chocolate.
No, he's too busy sitting outside with a fire.
I won't have a fire going during the day. It's going to be 85 on Sunday or whatever it's supposed to be. I will have the TV outside watching on the patio. Weather's nice.
What is it, one of those big box TVs you carry out?
Yeah, it's a big floor model, one of the ones that comes in the cabinet. I put it on a forklift and drag it out. No. I got a nice big 50-inch something screen I got out on the patio there.
How about if it rains?
You bring it in if there's going to be nasty weather.
Sometimes you forget, you know?
No, you don't forget. No, you don't do that. All right. Safe travels to Kaboom. Thanks to everybody for supporting the show and watching. We'll do the live post-game edition like I said, right around 4:45, 5 o'clock or so on Sunday. Hopefully we got good things to talk about. And this team is 2-1 before they head over to Ireland. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you in soon.